We are making our journey through these three holy days, this sacred triduum. And it brings us this night to the silence of this church, to a church stripped of all ornament and decoration, to the stark reality of the day that we call good. This night we are invited to come before the stark reality of the cross, that instrument of torture and death used in the first century by the Romans to punish political insurrectionists. At the beginning of the gospel bearing his name, John sets forth in beautiful, soaring language his theology that the Word becomes flesh, that God stoops to put on humanity in the person of Jesus, the eternal Word present at the creation of the world, becomes a finite creature in order to show the depth of God's love for us. And at the end of John's Gospel, Jesus, the eternal Word, love incarnate, hangs on the cross, suffers, and dies. The starkness of this night brings us face to face with the fullness of our human nature. Though we are created in God's image, though we are made for relationship with God, we have unruly wills, and we reject the one who is love. This night we see the depth of God's love for us, as we see Jesus willingly going to the cross. The innocent one, guilty only of loving, is punished. For his love threatens this world. It indicts those in power, and so they kill him. This night we are confronted with the harsh reality of our human nature, of our rejection of God, of our desire to act for ourselves, of our thirst to hoard material possessions, our quest for power, no matter who might suffer as a consequence of our pursuit, of our need to return violence for violence, answering every insult in kind. How I wish I could stand before you this night and say that those forces that killed Jesus more than 2,000 years ago no longer exist. But sadly, we all know they do. They are in full force, in full evidence in our world. The Passion Gospel that we just heard so wonderfully sung by the choir, that Passion Gospel of John has through the ages incited people to commit violent acts against the Jewish community. It seems to matter not that Jesus, his disciples, most of the authorities in the story are themselves Jewish. With very few exceptions, John only shows Jesus to be acting in accord with God's plan. It's no accident that at various times in history, violence against the Jewish community increased dramatically during Holy Week. It's not an accident that the Holocaust happened, with millions who were Jewish displaced and tortured and killed by people professing to be Christian. Even the cross itself has been used as a symbol of intimidation and oppression. In the hands of the Ku Klux Klan, a cross set on fire can strike fear and terror in the hearts of the African American community. Just as with lynchings, the cross was used by the Romans as a deterrent, a symbol to those who challenged the powers of Roman occupation. If they dared to incite insurrection, the cross would be their fate. This was especially true at the time of the Passover, when the desire for a free state, a state with no Roman occupation and oppression, was very strong, and fears of an uprising preoccupied the political rulers. Jesus is hung on the cross to preserve the status quo so those with power can maintain their grip on power. They were certain if they killed Jesus, they could preserve things as they were. But we know they could not have been more mistaken. For the cross of Jesus is not the end. The death of Jesus is not simply the death of a man. Good Friday is good precisely because it is the beginning. It is nothing short than the promise of a new way of living, the dawn of a new age. The cross offers hope to those who are oppressed. The cross offers promise to those living in fear and terror. The cross offers refuge for those who despair. The cross offers healing for those burdened by sins and failings. While tonight offers us a difficult vision of Jesus hanging on a tree, nailed there by human sinfulness and hate, Jesus bids us come to the foot of the cross, to come there to gaze at the worst that humanity can do, to see the work of our sinfulness, to see God's blood upon the spearhead, God's love refused again. But we're not to come to that cross out of guilt, nor to punish ourselves, but rather we're invited to come to the cross in hope. Our liturgy tonight makes clear the power of the cross puts to death once and for all the worst that humanity can perpetuate. Through the power of the cross, sin and death are defeated once and for all. In that defeat, there is joy. There is the promise of eternal life. In the death of Jesus, there is great hope for us. And so in this liturgy, we are invited to bring ourselves before the cross of Jesus, to gaze upon it in sorrow and horror, but also to glimpse the promise of eternity. There was an opinion piece in today's New York Times. It was entitled, "Why Jesus on the Cross is No Mere Symbol," and written by Peter Wenner. And he observes that people regularly ask why God allows suffering. Why doesn't God end the suffering and the pain in this world? His answer is, that's a mystery. It's something that Jesus never explained. But what he goes on to say is that God is well acquainted with grief and suffering. That God is with us when we suffer. Wenner writes, "From the perspective of Christianity, one can question why God allows suffering, but one cannot say God doesn't understand it. God is not remote, indifferent, untouched, or unscarred. Though God allows suffering to take place in this world, God is not dispassionate about suffering. In Jesus, God experiences the horror of torture, crucifixion and death. Jesus knows what it is to be rejected and abandoned. Jesus enters into humanity's sin and violence and pain, and through the power of the cross breaks their tyranny, breaks their power once and forever. Jesus is present with us whenever we suffer, whenever we know pain or experience rejection. And Jesus offers us the promise that we journey through suffering with him as he walks beside us in difficult times. This night, Jesus does nothing less than enter fully into humanity's pain and suffering and brokenness. Jesus takes all human failings, takes all evils committed to the cross in himself. And in his death, all sin and evil, even death itself, are destroyed. And in being lifted high upon the cross, Jesus puts to death everything that separates us from God, our neighbor, and ourselves, and gathers us in the wide, loving embrace of the outstretched arms of Jesus. In just a few moments, a cross will be carried into the church. And you will be invited to come before the cross and to venerate it. You may touch it, or kneel before it, or even kiss it, however you would like to. We are all invited this night to come before the cross with profound gratitude to God for the great gift of love that Jesus shows us in willingly dying for us upon the cross. In your bulletin tonight, there is a blank piece of paper, and if you wish, I invite you to use that to write with the pencil in your pew on that paper any sins or hurts or regrets or failings, anything that you want to leave at the foot of the cross, anything that you want redeemed by Jesus' love. I promise you, no one will read that. Whatever you write and leave at the cross is known only to you and to God. These papers will then be used as the fuel in the fire kindled tomorrow night at the great vigil of Easter. That fire that burns, that is a new fire, that burns in hope and promise of resurrection. Jesus dies on the cross because of human sinfulness and failing. But nothing is lost in God's economy. Through the power of God, all that separates us from the love of God made known in Jesus is put to death with him. The very power of sin and death die on that tree on Good Friday. In the end, resurrection is stronger than any evil, stronger than any power of this world, stronger even than death itself. And so let us come this evening before the cross, leaving at its feet, at its foot, all our sins and our failings. And let us go forth from the cross set free to love abundantly and extravagantly. The power of the Holy Spirit enables us to deny those impulses which reject love, those impulses of greed and hatred, of fear and violence. The death of Jesus sets us free from all the evils of this world, from all the evils of human desire, setting us free to walk in love as Christ loved us. Amen. Amen.